Is your marriage and your home a mess? Or is it amazing? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
God wants home to be safety and security and stability and love and acceptance, unconditional acceptance and laughter and joy. But so often it's not like that. So many people, when they think of home, it sends chills down their spine because their home is a place of upheaval. Their home is World War III. Their home is a place of abuse, physical abuse or sexual abuse. Their home is a place of drug abuse and drunkenness. Their home is a place where they're very, very afraid. God doesn't want that for your home. God wants you to have a wonderful home. And in order to have a wonderful home, you have to do your homework.
He can heal every scar.
Have you done your homework? Now, if you're an adult, you may not have been asked that in a while. But if you want to have a successful and a happy home, the Bible says that there are some practical things that you and I need to do to study up on and put into practice. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us today as he begins a series of messages that will continue our theme this month designed to help families and marriages be all that God wants them to be. The series we're starting today is called Family Matters. What does God say about the troubles that families face? And the first lesson is going to teach us about the importance of doing our homework. Now, if you miss any of these messages that we're going to be airing this month, or today's message in particular, you can always listen to it again online at fromhisheart.org. Now, though, let me invite you to open your Bible to the 128th Psalm. Here's Pastor Jeff explaining the importance of doing your homework.
I heard a story about a teacher, and she said to her third grade class, she said, class, today we have an assignment. She said, I'm going to ask each of you to stand up and to tell me what your father does for a living and spell it, and then tell us, the class, what your daddy would do if he were here today. And so little Mary stood up first, and little Mary said, my daddy is a banker, B-A-N-K-E-R. And if my daddy were here, he'd give everyone a shiny new penny. Oh, and the teacher clapped. That was so wonderful. And then little Jimmy was next. And little Jimmy said, my daddy is a baker. B-A-K-E-R. And if he were here, he'd give everyone a cookie. Oh, that was so wonderful. And then little Larry stood up. He didn't do his spelling homework. And she asked little Larry, she said, little Larry, stand up. Tell us what your father does, spell it, and what would he do if he were here? And little Larry stood up and he said, my daddy is an electrician. E-K-R-A. And she said, that's okay, Larry, we'll come back to you. And then little Bobby stood up. He said, can I go next? She said, you go next, Bobby. He said, my daddy is a bookie. B-O-O-K-I-E. And if he were here, he'd give you 10 to 1. Larry can't spell electrician. That little Larry in that joke, he didn't do his homework. And because he didn't do his homework, he didn't do well on that assignment. Hey, if you want to do well in school, students, you know this, if you want to do well in school, you have to do your homework. Success in school means you do your homework. Hey, success at home. You want to have a successful and a happy home, you have to do your homework. Now, I have a burden in my heart for families, and that's why for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the home. God has a lot to say about the home, and God wants you to have a wonderful home, a wonderful marriage, a wonderful family life. You know, just the word home, it's supposed to connote good things. You know, when I was a kid and we would play tag. How many played tag as a kid growing up? Did they still play tag? I always played tag. When I was, you know, third, fourth grade, we played tag. And tag, when you're going to play tag, you would pick home base. Something would be home base. And let's say this is home base. If you were touching home base, you couldn't get out. You can't tag me out if I'm at home. Home was a place in tag. Oh, that was a place of safety. That was a place of security. That's a place where people couldn't tag you out because you're home. And home is supposed to be like that. God wants home to be that place of safety and security and stability and love and acceptance, unconditional acceptance and laughter and joy. But so often it's not like that. So many people, when they think of home, it sends chills down their spine because their home is a place of upheaval. Their home is World War III. Their home is a place of abuse, physical abuse or sexual abuse. Their home is a place of drug abuse and drunkenness. Their home is a place where they're very, very afraid. There was a boy that I knew, 10 years old, 11 years old, and he lived in a Christian home. His mom and dad professed Christ, but his home life was so bad that his parents told me, they said, you know, Stephen doesn't like to come home. He likes to spend all his time at school, as much time as he possibly can at school, and then when he comes home, he stays outside till it's dark because he can't stand all the fighting and all the turmoil inside the home. How sad. Home's not to be like that. God doesn't want that for your home. God wants you to have a wonderful home. And in order to have a wonderful home, you have to do your homework. Now, in Psalm 128, we read about a happy home, a home where mom and dad did their homework. Let's look at it. Scripture says, "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." There are three subjects in doing your homework if you want to have a happy home, a home where the blessings of God flow. Subject number one is the Lord. That's the primary subject. The most important subject in doing your homework is the Lord. It says in verse 1, "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." And then in verse 4, he sums it up again. He says, "Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." Two times in four verses, he talks about the blessings of God. In verse 2, he talks about being happy. Now, the word blessed literally means, when you read it in Scripture about the blessings of God and blessed, 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 that word means to be happy. That's what God says. When he puts blessings upon us and pours out blessings, it's to make us happy. And he says, hey, you want to be happy in life? I don't know anybody that wants to be unhappy in life. Everybody wants to be happy in life. God says, here's the way to do it. Behold, everyone is happy. You're blessed if you fear the Lord. That's the avenue to happiness, is to fear God. Scripture talks about that in Proverbs. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the foundation stone for wisdom, knowledge, and happiness, is the fear of God. Now, what exactly is the fear of the Lord? I mean, if that's going to make me happy, then sign me up. I want to do it. But what is it? Lots of people don't understand what the fear of the Lord is. See, the fear of the Lord is not shaking in my boots. It's not being afraid of God. It's not cowering in fear. Oh, no. It's not, you know how some people are afraid of their boss because their boss is a psycho. And seriously, I've had some psycho bosses. Anybody ever had a psycho boss? Hope none of the staff are raising their hands. But some people have a psycho boss, and you're afraid, oh, gosh, he's going to be mad at me. Some people have a psycho dad, an alcoholic parent that just gets mad like that. But they're afraid. God doesn't want you to be afraid of him. He wants you to fear him. He wants you to stand in awe of him. And to fear the Lord, the Bible says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. To do that means that you give God his rightful place. That's kind of what it means just in everyday terms. You give God his rightful place. See, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And when you understand the fear of the Lord, who God is, then you see who you are, and then you see that I am not God. God is God. He is so much higher and better and wiser and stronger. He's the Almighty God than I am. I mean, light years infinitely greater than I am. You give him his rightful place. See, the King of the universe deserves to be king in you because he's the king. And the fear of the Lord says, I understand that God is the king, and I stand in awe of him, and I give him his rightful place. Subject number one is the Lord, and God is to be the center of your life. That's what the fear of the Lord is. You make God the center of your life. Scripture says this about Jesus Christ. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. First place in everything. Hey, in everything in your life, does Jesus have first place? He's the head. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He runs the whole universe. Does he run your life? Does he have first place? Lots of people, boy, the Lord plays second fiddle to tons of stuff in their life. Tons of stuff. I mean, he plays second fiddle to career. He plays second fiddle to climbing the corporate ladder. He plays second fiddle to making lots of money. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords plays second fiddle to Little League, to the hunting lease, to the golf game, to Rotary. It's sick what we put ahead of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is to have first place in everything. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Listen, if you put other things ahead of the King of Kings, you're not going to be blessed. You're not going to be happy. How happy is the man? How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who puts him first? Now, how do you live in the fear of the Lord always? How practically can you and I do that? I learned just a few weeks ago a way to practically live every day in the fear of the Lord. It has really revolutionized my life. And I was at an Adrian Rogers conference, and he talked about what he does in his personal private life, in his time with the Lord, and he called it PACE, P-A-C-E. He used it as an acrostic. And he said, this is what I do. I was there with about 50 other pastors. He said, this is what I do. He said, first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, he said, I get out of bed. He said, even on my way to the bathroom, he said, I'm doing PACE. And he said, P stands for praise. And he said, I will raise my hands up to the Lord and I'll just praise him. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the morning. Thank you that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you that you've given me another day. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me, for rising again from the dead. He says, I just praise the Lord. With my hands lifted up, I praise the Lord. And then he says, I turn my hands this way. And A stands for acceptance. And he said, I turn my hands as I'm going to receive something from God. And I say to the Lord, Lord, you died for me. And Lord, you shed your blood for me. And you paid all my sin debt on the cross. And Lord, I don't want to have any sin in my heart. I don't want to carry around any load of guilt. And Lord, I accept the fact that you accept me. See, the scripture says we're accepted in the beloved. If we know Jesus Christ, he accepts us. You don't have to work for God to love you. You don't have to work for God to accept you. He says, I accept you. So you accept his acceptance of you. That's what faith is. Grace is God's acceptance of you, and faith is your acceptance of God's acceptance of you. And you just say, I accept that, Lord. And C stands for control. You say, Lord, I right now, he turns his hands up this way, like someone had a gun in his back and he surrenders. He said, Lord, I right now surrender to you. I give you control of my life. I get off the throne of my life and I want you to sit there. You're the king. I want you, King of the universe, to be king in me. And I give you my control. And then he said, E is expectation. God, I am expecting today to be a great day because you're in charge. Because you love me, because you've forgiven me for everything, because you're sitting on the throne of my life, and today is going to be a fabulous, exciting day. God is to be the center of your life if you want a happy home. But not only is God to be the center of your life, God's word is to be the guide of your life. He says, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Walks in his ways. The scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, once you let the Lord sit in the control center of your life, then this book, which is God's word, begins to guide you. And the Lord tells you what you are to do. And he speaks to us not into our ears. God speaks primarily through his word. Now, he speaks to our hearts, sure, and he speaks to us in prayer. But you want to know the will of God for your life? It's in here. As you spend time in this book, those words will leap off the page. And God tells you what to do and what not to do in his word. And every time you run across a command where the Lord says, don't do this, God says, hey, that's going to hurt you. That's going to hurt you. Every now thou shalt not is God saying, don't hurt yourself. And every time God says, do this, it's help yourself to happiness. Those are good things. God's word is to guide us. And if we follow his ways, we're on the road to success. We're on the road to blessing and to happiness. God's word as a boundary. Now, any of you who have had little children, you know how important it is to set boundaries for little kids. When Debbie and I and our girls were little, we bought this gate thing that you could kind of, it would be wider or it could be thinner depending on what door you wanted to put it in. It would jam up in the door. And so you could keep your little toddlers out of certain rooms. So you could keep an eye on them. So they wouldn't just crawl off somewhere and get hurt. Now, that's why we put those up. We'd put them in front of the stairs. We'd put them in front of the kitchen or something like that if we were in the den, because we wanted to make sure we could keep an eye on them. Now, we didn't put up those barricades because we were mean. We didn't do that to say, oh, I'm going to see you want to get in the kitchen, and I'm going to let you just see the kitchen, but you can't get in it because I'm going to laugh at you because I know that that's what was going to make you happy there in the kitchen. We didn't do that. We said, that's going to hurt you because mom and dad aren't there in the kitchen, and there's some things in the kitchen if we're not there that could hurt you. So we put up the boundary, and we don't want you to hurt yourself. That's what God does with his word. It's just a boundary. And God says, hey, these things are going to hurt you. And don't go over here because you're going to suffer for it. I heard a story about a mother of a three-year-old, and she was one of those mothers. She never corrected her little junior. And they went over to a neighbor's house. And have you ever had somebody bring little Junior over to your house and they never correct little Junior? And little Junior's just going all over the place screaming like a wild Indian. And you're thinking to yourself, man, I'd like to give little Junior a Bible study. He'd never forget. I mean, but there's no correction. And this lady was at this house and she was just letting her kid, and the kid was going through the cabinets in the kitchen. They were in the den and he heard all this noise going through the cabinets. And the mother kind of laughed at the couple and she said, oh, I hope you don't mind little Junior kind of making some noise in your kitchen. Father said, no, I don't mind. He'll get quiet once he gets into the poisons. You know, that's what happens. And God says, hey, listen, there's a lot of poison out there in the world. And I put my word there to be a boundary for you, to keep you from hurting yourself, to keep you away from the poisons, because God loves you and he loves me and he doesn't want us to hurt ourselves. Doing your homework. Subject number one is the Lord. You have to have him at the center of your life. Subject number two is your marriage. Now, by and large, marriages aren't doing very well. Marriages outside the church, marriages inside the church. There's not all that much difference based on statistics. Marriages are falling apart at an alarming rate. So many people are getting divorced. And other people who don't get divorced, see, lots of Christians won't get divorced because they have a problem with that because the scripture says God hates divorce. And so they won't get divorced. But there are a lot of people in the church that they're just coexisting. They're just living together. There's no excitement. There's no thrill in the marriage. There's no love there in the marriage. They're just like two ships passing in the night. They're just like roommates. They just live under the same roof. There's a recent survey done of 100 young children, age 7 to 12. And they asked them, they said, would you like to have a marriage like your mom and dad have? And only 5 out of those 100 kids said yes. 95% of them said, no way. I don't want to have a marriage like mom and dad. What's going on here? Mom and dad aren't doing their homework. See, if you're going to have a good marriage, it takes work. And the husband has a job and the wife has a job. And the husband's job, he is commanded to love his wife. Ephesians 5:28 says, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. You're commanded in Ephesians to love your wife. You say, well, what am I supposed to do as a husband? I just tell my wife all the time, honey, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Does that do it? Do I fulfill that command if I just tell her I love her? Well, you need to, as a husband, tell your wife you love her. She needs to hear that from you. But talk is cheap. You can tell someone you love them and you don't really love them. So many people tell God that they love him, but they don't really love him. Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it's not just, the scripture says, it's not just telling your wife you love her, it's showing your wife you love her. And the Lord says, you love her like you love your own body. Your own body. That's how you're to love your wife, to nourish her and cherish her. Now, a few weeks ago, my wife was doing an exercise tape on a Saturday. We have this particular exercise tape that we got some years ago, The Firm. It's a total body workout with Susan Harris. She's the master instructor. I nicknamed her Satan because when I do this exercise tape with Debbie, I mean, it's so brutal. And so Debbie was going to do it on a Saturday, and she said, Jeff, will you do it with me? And so I said, well, okay, she likes me to do it with her. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And so Debbie puts on ankle weights when she does this tape. Now, I am super competitive. And so I thought, well, if she's got ankle weights, I'm going to put on ankle weights. So I put on ankle weights. I hadn't done Susan in a while. And there's a part of Susan where you have to do jumping jacks. Now, I've had my ACL torn in this knee. I just got some shreds of ACL left. And when I did jumping jacks with those ankle weights on, that put a lot of stress on my knee. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I was really hurting my knee. And the next day, I woke up, I could barely walk. My knee was so swollen, and I was having to just kind of limp around. It was on a Sunday. I don't know if any of you noticed, but it was hard for me to move. And I was so cognizant of my knee being hurt. And I was so careful when I would get up. I was so careful if I went down the stairs. Oh, it was like, man, you know, how am I going to do that? Because this knee. And I would ice the knee, and I babied the knee because my knee hurt. And when my knee hurt, my whole body hurt. And I nourished and cherished my knee. God says, husbands, do that with your wives.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And as we've learned today, we can all identify with having an overwhelming physical pain that focuses and demands our attention. And when that happens, we pay attention, don't we? Are we also giving a careful consideration to those very critical needs of our spouse that we love so dearly? The message today is part one of the lesson called Doing Your Homework. It's from Pastor Jeff Shreve's series, Family Matters. Now, this month on From His Heart, we're focusing our attention on the relationships between men and women. Yes, women are from Mars and men are from Venus. Or is it the other way around? Either way, it doesn't matter. We're different. And that can bring great joy. And it can bring great sorrow. And that's why Pastor Jeff has two important resources to offer you this month when you support From His Heart. Now, the first is an insightful series called Understanding the Sexes, God's Blueprint for Men and Women. And the second is a two-message set called Till Death Do Us Part, What God Says About Marriage and Divorce. These eight lessons in all are sure to give you the tools that you need to bring both of these planets closer together, not on a collision course, but in harmony. Again, both series available for your gift this month to From His Heart. Just call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. And know that when you support From His Heart, you are allowing us to reach millions of people around the world with the greatest news possible, the joy and the peace that comes from knowing Jesus personally. And thank you for standing with us to tell the world the truth about the depth of God's love and how Jesus changes everything for them and for you. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us today. Tomorrow on the broadcast, Pastor Jeff will continue teaching from his series, Family Matters, What Does God Say About the Troubles Families Face? And part two of the message called Doing Your Homework. Then he's going to reveal the three areas that can bring God's blessings into your home. Here's just part of the truth we'll hear.
Some of you husbands are here and you are married to a wife and she is hurting so badly. And you don't even know it. You're so out of touch. You say you love her, but you don't know. She's dying inside. And as husbands, God says, you're to nourish her, you're to cherish her, and you're to take care of her like you take care of your own body.
That's on Wednesday, when we'll open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart.
There is truth, there is truth, there is love.
From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more about that go to fromhisheart.org.